Morning, everyone. Good to see you, and especially those who may be visiting with us. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be with us. If you would get a Bible and be ready to study along with us as we look into God's Word. And this being just the second Sunday in July, we see that we've come to the second half of the calendar year. And for some who are here today, we're anticipating some changes that are going to be coming up very soon. Got some of our young folks here that are beginning their preparation for the beginning of a new step in their lives, beginning with either their higher education or getting into the workforce or a little bit of both. Some of you are going to be moving away and outside the homes that you've known all your life, or at least a good portion of your life. You're going to be away from your families. And for you and your parents, it's an anxious time. You got new and unknown things that you're going to look forward to. You got new people you're going to meet, new things to learn and experience, and along with all this and more, new influences, new challenges, and new distractions that may affect you and your spiritual lives if you're not careful. And we parents are all aware of many of the influences that you may encounter, but I can tell you we don't know everything. We don't know everything you're going to face. And so we try to prepare our kids as much as we can before sending them off on their own. And parents have been the most significant influence and example for their children's lives up to this point. But we also know that there are going to be more influences they have yet to see and experience. But here's the reality. We're all going to face various influences in our everyday lives. We all are going to follow some path or be led one direction or another based on our choices. The differences will come down to who or what influenced us most, or who we choose to follow. You know, in the social media world, there are what are called influencers, and you probably know too, there's lots of followers. And it's really no different when we get out in the real world. Someone or something is going to influence us, and we all are going to follow someone or something. And we can be influencers to those around us. But what influence is that going to be? What road are we going to travel? Well, I probably don't have to tell most of you here today that God's Word tells us that there are essentially two paths in life. And Jesus admonishes us in Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 13, beginning. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And so the question is, which road are we going to take? Maybe more importantly, which road are we on? Well, today I want us to take a few minutes and consider the fact that we are influencers and followers. That is, we are an influence on those around us, and we should be. But we are also followers of someone or something. And in each case, we have choices that we're going to have to make that are going to affect our spiritual standing and the spiritual standing of those around us. Our influence can be for good, or it can be detrimental to the spiritual lives of others. Likewise, our choices about who or what we follow can lead us to either eternal life or can lead us to eternal condemnation. And for those who are about to begin a new phase in their lives, this is an important consideration that we cannot take lightly. Because the choices that you make in the coming months are going to affect you for the rest of your life. And your choices that you're going to make in the coming months and years are not going to just affect you, but they're going to affect all those around you. And they're going to affect them for days, weeks, and months, but here's the thing I want us to think about, possibly for generations. And regardless of where you are in life, as long as you are breathing, it's not too late to be a positive influence on others or to change the path that you are following if you find that you're headed in the wrong direction. So let's think about these for just a few minutes this morning. The fact that you can be an influencer. And you can because you have a choice. And here's the reality of our influence. We don't have to tell people to follow our example. A lot of people are just simply going to do what they see us doing. And especially for those who may be more easily influenced, especially those who are going to be in new and strange places, our influence can be more powerful than maybe what we realize. So we can be influencers for evil, if that's our choice. Now the world around us is trying to tell us all the time that there's really no such thing as good or evil. And I want you to understand that such arguments like that are disingenuous at best, and they're outright lies in reality. Because I tell you, everybody I've ever heard who made that argument wants you to believe that they're good, even as they argue against things being called good or evil. They want you to believe that they're good. But you see, our choices are clear when it comes to our influence. It's going to be either good or evil. And we may not think our poor or outright bad choices that we make are going to affect anybody, but we would be mistaken if that's what we thought. And despite the arguments of some who have argued in the past that the personal lives of our political leaders shouldn't be a matter of our consideration, only what their political ideologies are, that itself is simply an attempt to get us to ignore the destructive influence of those same political leaders. Consider the influence of King Ahaz that we read about in 2 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, who ruled over Judah late in their existence. In 2 Chronicles 28, verse 1, it said that he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. And we find later in verse 19 that the Lord brought Judah low because of King Ahaz, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. Now when you read in this is the New King James translation, when you read that he encouraged moral decline, that doesn't mean that he went out on his raised platform and spoke before the people, said, I want you guys to go out there and really live immoral lives. When it says that he encouraged moral decline, it was simply saying by his immoral life that he lived, he encouraged others to do the same. He didn't have to tell anybody. They just simply watched and observed his life, and because of his influence, the nation followed his example and did what he did, and it wasn't good. But we can be influencers to do good. Consider King Josiah that we read about in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. In verse 1, it tells us that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. We find in verse 3 that he began to seek the God of his father David, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. Now I want to stop for just a minute. You might be saying, and especially if you young folks are listening this morning, I hope you are, and by young folks, that's anybody less than 95 years old. You might be saying, well, what good can I do as a young person? Well, depending on what translation you're reading, Josiah was either 8 or 18 when he began reigning. So, yes, you as a young person can make a difference. Look what he started to do. We find then in verse 19, when the book of the law was found in the temple and it was read to him, that Josiah tore his clothes out of great grief when he realized how far that they had strayed. And then we read in verses 23 through 28, because of his efforts to restore the land of faithfulness, God would delay the inevitable punishment that he had already decreed would come. And we find in verse 33 that because of his influence on those in Judah, it was said that he made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. Now, just like Ahaz didn't compel them and force them to do evil, but simply by his bad example, he encouraged moral decline. In the same way, because of the good example of Josiah, he caused all of Israel to serve the Lord faithfully all the days of his life. Please understand that you will influence someone. Whether you realize it or not, you are going to influence someone. This isn't something that we think about all the time, and we tend to think of just the older ones as the ones who are going to be the influence on somebody else. But I would ask some of you who are teenagers still, maybe even in your 20s, maybe even early teens, to stop and think about some of the younger kids we have in here. And I know some of you older folks have noticed that they will trail those kids around all over this auditorium. They will literally follow them everywhere they go. Why is that? Because they're watching you and they're following you and they want to do just what you're doing. So yes, you can be an influence, and you are already. But you can also be an influence on other members of your family, maybe like your little sister or brother, maybe even on your parents. Sometimes the actions of younger ones have an influence on the older ones for good. But here is the simple truth here. You're going to influence someone. And it could be possibly somebody who's seeking the truth. If you're a Christian, I hope this is already a given, that you know that you're supposed to be a positive influence on others. But again, we sometimes forget this and we don't think about the people whom we may influence or never know that we influence. Some people, here's the thing, I want us to dig a little deeper than just the surface here. Think about this. You are going to influence people you're never going to meet. You're like, how can I be an influence on somebody I never meet? Because you influence the people you do meet, and because of your good influence on them, they then affect somebody else in a good way. And it goes back to you. It could be somebody who's seeking the truth, or the answers to their questions about God or the Bible or religion in general. And so they come to know by observing your life that you might have some answers. They listen in, whether they're part of the conversation or not. Somebody's going to be listening. They're going to hear some things you're talking about, and they're going to get the idea, maybe you know something about the Bible or about God or about Christianity or some other religious matter. And they can tell by observation, by listening, you're not some just Sunday morning Christian. You're not some once a week Christian. You're someone who really takes it seriously. And so then when they have a serious question about spiritual matters, they know who they're going to come to. And here's the thing, you may not know that yet. And you probably don't know that yet. But the example that you're now living, the influence that you're now having on them, is going to make a difference on their lives before you even speak to them. Think about the influence that Andrew had when he was a disciple of John. We read about it in John, the first chapter, verses 35 and 36. Here he was, a disciple of John, when he heard John say to them regarding Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." Well, what did he do after that? We find then in verses 41 and 42 that Andrew went and told his brother Peter, "We have found the Messiah," and then brought him to Jesus. John influenced Andrew. Andrew influenced Peter. And then think about how many people Peter influenced. And it all goes back to John. John told Andrew. Andrew told Peter. Peter told hundreds, thousands of people. Think about how so little an action affected these men and generations to follow. That's what I want us to think about. Our influence could touch generations of people. It's going to reach far beyond where we live and far beyond the years that we live here on this earth. We may literally influence generations of people for good or bad. Consider again John the Baptist on one disciple, Andrew. Because of Andrew, Peter then went to talk to Peter to come and see Jesus. And as we know, Peter became one of the most prominent and influential disciples simply because of his part in the spread of the gospel throughout all the world. Think about the thousands of people that were converted because of Peter, and maybe hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions who would be influenced by those converts and generation after generation until today. And no doubt there were many generations of disciples who could trace the line all the way back to John and his influence on Andrew. But the truth is, we have literally generations of people influenced by someone who heard the gospel from somebody else. Think about the oft-cited admonition of Paul here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. He writes to them, "The things that you have heard from me," so me, Paul, first, and then you, Timothy, there's two, "commit these to faithful men," generation number 3, "who will be able to teach others also," generation number 4, in one verse. Now think about yourself. Don't ever underestimate or undervalue your influence on others. And again, many whom you may never know or ever meet. But because you and I have an influence on someone out there who right now may be searching for the truth, maybe looking for someone to lead them or at least point them in the right direction, that someone could be you. You could be a good influence on someone, and you are. Let's never forget that we are examples. You are an example. Because we're going to influence someone at one time or another, really all the time, we have to realize that we are examples to the world, and we're example of what it's supposed to be mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And whether we think so or not, or whether we like it or not, we are the example that they're going to look at. They're watching you and me to see what a disciple is supposed to look like and how they're supposed to live and what they believe. And they're going to make their judgments based on what they see and hear in your life. We are examples. You are an example. Think about the greatest example, Jesus. He was and is an example, and so are you. But we look at Jesus as a supreme example. Right before he went into the garden to pray, the night before he was taken away to be tried and crucified, we find in John the 13th chapter that he put on the clothes of a servant and he washed the disciples' feet. And he concluded that by telling them in verses 15 and 16, "I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." Now, Jesus wasn't talking just about washing others' feet. He was talking about being a servant. Peter would later expand the breadth of his example in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 when he wrote about how Jesus suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. You see, his life as a whole is an example to be noted and imitated. John would later write in 1 John 2 and verse 6, he who says that he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. What John is saying is if we're going to call ourselves Christian, we have to live like Jesus. That, friends and brethren, is following an example. And it's following the example that we should be following. And if we're following the example of Jesus as we should, then others who follow our example will likewise be following the example of Jesus. As Paul notes in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That's essentially what he's saying. Follow me because I'm following Christ. Follow my example because I'm following the example of Jesus. And he would later tell the brethren in Philippi, in Philippians the 3rd chapter, verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Now, if I can take a little side note for just a minute, for those people who say that examples are not binding, take them to that passage. There's a command to follow an example. Yes, we follow examples. He would say in chapter 4, verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, he and other faithful disciples were examples to the brethren, and they could now look to them as the example to follow. So let's not ever think that we don't bear that same responsibility. We have to be living like Jesus so others who follow us will also be following Jesus. Because we can never forget this fact. Others are always watching and listening. And if they see something, if they hear something that doesn't match with what they read in the Bible, they're either going to be confused by what they see in us, or they're going to become discouraged and disinterested in not just what we say, but anybody has to say about the Bible or God or their souls. Let's never forget that there are others who are always watching and listening. And so we need to ask ourselves, what are they going to see in our lives? Will they see the true meaning of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? We're imperfect, but we're striving to be more like Him every day. What will they think when they look at our lives? Now, keep in mind, we have to acknowledge that none of us is going to be perfect. But if they see us falter, will they see that as a habit, a regular thing? Or will they see it as an act that's out of line with the rest of our lives and they see us quickly make corrections? Will they see, as Paul put it in Galatians 2 and verse 20, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that what they will see in our lives? Or will they see us as merely hypocrites who say one thing but live quite differently? And what will they think? When they observe our lives, what will they think about God and Christ, about what a true disciple is supposed to be? What will they think about us? What will they think about you? And especially for those who may be looking at our lives to try to find fault, are they going to, like Daniel, conclude in Daniel 6 and verse 5, we shall not find any charge against this one unless we find against him concerning the law of his God? In other words, they're looking for faults in our life. The only fault they're going to find is that we're too religious. We're too committed to God. Might even think we're one of those Jesus freaks. Some other derogatory term. Are they going to think that we're genuine disciples or Sunday morning Christians? Or just outright hypocrites? What are they going to think about us? Well, we're not just influencers, we're also followers. And you are going to be a follower. And we have a choice in this matter also. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, we have a choice. And no one will have to answer for what we choose except us. So what are our choices? Again, they're very simple. Is it going to be the world? You know, at any point in our adult lives, we have the choice of how we're going to live. And unfortunately, many young people choose to indulge in worldly practices as soon as they leave home. They think that they've somehow missed out on all the fun. And so the world is going to gladly oblige, give them and offer them every worldly pleasure and activity that there is. And I'm not trying to scare you parents. You know this is true already. They're going to do it. That's what we've been training our children to be able to resist all these years. The world is going to try to get you to join in with them, because their thinking is if they can get you to come over to their side, then they're not going to be uncomfortable every time you come around. They're going to be okay with you. I'm going to tell you right now, you better get comfortable with this. They're going to be uncomfortable with your righteous living. You're going to be excluded. You're going to be ridiculed. It's just the way it is. And the world, because of that, they're going to try to get you to come over to their side. But the choice is ours. The choice is yours. You are going to be responsible for that choice. Let's not forget the example we find in Scriptures where after the Israelites had settled Canaan, we find in Judges chapter 2 and verse 12 that they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. They literally followed God through the wilderness all the way to Canaan. They get to Canaan and settle down, and a generation later, they're not following Him anymore. That was their choice. You know, from the beginning, the devil has appealed to the desires of man by offering material enticements to draw his attention away from God. And he's going to do the same for you. You could choose to follow the things of the world if that's the path that you desire. But if you do so, you have to at least acknowledge that, as James wrote, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Please understand, that is the choice that you're making. You cannot follow after the world and still be close to God. As John would say in 1 John 2 and verse 15, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't fool yourself either. Don't fool yourself thinking, well, I still love God as you're following after the world. It's just not true. But we also have a choice to follow Christ. You know, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus went to certain men. We read about Matthew 4, verses 19 and 20. And he said to these men, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we find then that these men immediately left their nets and followed him. The choice was theirs. In a real sense, Jesus has invited all to follow him, saying in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is essentially saying, come, follow me. See, you still have a choice in the matter. It's not been predestined by God that you will either choose him or not. The choice is ours. And I urge you to make the same decision that Joshua did when he said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I urge you to make that same choice. And please understand, we are going to follow someone. There's not anybody new. There's no new way out there that's never existed before. I know we like to think so. And it seems like there are many more choices out there, but they all boil down to either the world or God. There's no middle ground. There's nothing else. There's nothing new. And this fact tells us that we have to make a choice, and we are going to follow someone. There's no other choice than the world or Christ. The wise writer recognized about 3,000 years ago in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9, that which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. That may look different, But it's essentially the same thing that's always existed. If it's not the truth that we follow, guess what? It's the lie. If it's not Christ we follow, it's the world, which ultimately is the devil. There's no other way than these. John warned, in fact, in 1 John 3, verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned since the beginning. Now we choose a life of righteousness or we choose a life of sin. There's nothing else. It's one path or the other. So we're going to follow someone. And the fact is, none of us is completely dependent of all others. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's not going to make a choice here. I don't think I have to make a choice. Well, you've already made a choice by saying that. Jesus said very plainly in Matthew 12, verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. There's no middle ground there. You're either with Christ or you are against Christ. So I don't have anything against Christ. Are you for him? Are you on his side? Then yes, you are against him if you're not with him. The one who chooses the way of the world is automatically on the wrong side of God, as we've seen already. But vice versa. Those who choose the side of God is against the world. The one who chooses the way of the world, it's clear he's not with God. There's no neutrality here because they're at war with each other. And many people, and hopefully nobody in here, is deceived today thinking that their refusal to follow God is merely, quote-unquote, not choosing sides. And even as they say that, they're blissfully unaware that they are actually, as Paul put it, in the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. They think they're free, but they're not. They're accomplishing his will, not God's. But again, there's only two paths to choose. The passage we read in our text this morning in the adult Bible class, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, tells us there are only two paths. There's the wide, smooth, and popular way. Jesus tells us, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. This is the path that the majority are going to follow, and they follow it simply because it's wide, it's smooth, and it's easy. And as they will tell themselves, everybody else is doing it. This is the path that we find the rich man. We find in Luke, the 16th chapter, whom Jesus described as having lived clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Wide, smooth, easy. He was living it. But we human beings are so influenced by others to simply go along to get along that we may be tempted to just go along on the wide, smooth path. And we don't think about where that path leads. Let's not ignore the end of the path as Jesus described it here as the path to destruction. While it may be easy and comfortable and popular, its end is not anyone in their right mind would want. When you make your choice, please make sure you know where the road ends. Because the other choice is going to be the narrow, difficult, and unpopular way. Jesus described it as this, in this way, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And so is it any surprise that he began by saying in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate? This is not the path that the world follows. And it's unfortunately the path that many who once believe will leave to go and follow the easy, smooth, comfortable, popular path. Please don't let that be you. I'll tell you, it would break my heart. And yeah, I'm going to put this on you, you young folks. Don't break my heart. Don't break your parents' heart by being one of those. I guarantee you, every day and night you're gone, They're praying for you. And they want you to make the right choices. They don't want to see you leave the narrow and difficult path. They want to see you in heaven. Make sure you're following the right path. But here's the thing, let's not forget this either. What or who we follow says something about us and who we really are. It says something about where our hearts are. If it's not clear by all the things we talk about so far, we have to say at this point that your path in life is, of course, your choice. And the kind of example and influence that you are to others is also your choice. But that choice says something about you. It reveals to everybody around you where your heart's at. Jesus once said in Matthew 6, chapter verse 19, beginning, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In other words, what we value the most, that's where our heart's going to be. That's what we're going to be thinking about. That's what our goals are going to be all about. And the path that we choose is a manifestation of what we seek most of all. What we value the most. Who we are. But it also says something about who our master is. Along those same lines, in verse 24 of that same chapter, Jesus would add, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Some translations say, you cannot serve God and materialism. So who or what is our master? If we choose the broad, smooth way where the majority goes, then materialism is our master. But if we choose the narrow and difficult and seldom traveled path, then Christ is our master. It's going to be one or the other because there's no other way and you can't do both. We can follow the world all the way to eternal destruction and have no one to blame but self because that's what we wanted. But you can, as Paul would urge the Christians to do in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. You can seek those things which are above where Christ is. You can set your minds on the things above, not on the things of this earth. And be rewarded with eternal life in heaven with God and all of His people. Now, all people are, when it comes down to it, are influencers. Because we can lead people to God or we can lead them away from Him. All people also are followers because we're going to either follow the way of the world or we're going to follow God's way. But as Christians, we may have to be particularly interested in being the right kind of influencers because we're all going to have to answer one day for how we've lived and that effect that we've had on others. We must also be particularly interested in the kind of followers that we are. For who or what we follow has a direct impact on where we end up. And wherever you may be in life, do not take this lightly. If you're just beginning your adult life and preparing to set the direction in which you'll go, make sure it's the right path. Because I'm sure there are many here who could tell you who have gotten off that path. It's very difficult to get back. And the further you get off the right path, the harder it is to come back. Some people never find their way back. But if you're already traveling down life's path and you find that you're on the wrong path, if you're here today and you're still breathing, it's not too late to change. It would be a good thing for all of us to stop and evaluate where we are and the direction that we're headed because it may not be the one that we want. It might even not be the one that we thought it was. But no matter who you are, as a Christian, be a positive influencer by being a true and faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Your choice and your dedication to that will literally influence generations who will follow you and many people that you will never meet this side of eternity. So as you go, Go with God. Take Him with you everywhere you go. And be the influence on others around you so that you'll meet them in heaven someday too. Now, this lesson is not one that would teach you what to do to become a child of God, but if you've heard the gospel and you've come to know and believe it to be true, that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God, that He came to this earth and died for your sins. If you believe that to be true, then you need to act on that conviction. Jesus Himself said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." If you've not done that, please understand you still need to do that if you want to be a child of God, if you want forgiveness of your sins. Could be that you're here today as a Christian, but you've not been walking faithfully with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you've got sin in your life that you know that you haven't received forgiveness for that yet. Please make it right today in whatever way you need to. Or it could be that you're here today, you just need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way. Whatever your need, though, will you come as we stand and sing?